Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Live from a bunker in the heart of the Ozarks, a podcast that feels like maybe you never had a minced meat pie. It's SIFPA. Welcome to SIF Pop Weekly, streaming live most Fridays or available to download later in your podcast feed, unless, of course, you're a patron.
Patrons get perks.
Patrons get those perks.
Woo!
I'm your host, Aaron Dicer, and Pod Boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when he talks at you? It's Andrew Ormsby, ladies and gentlemen.
Ahoy!
Each week we'll chat about movies, TV, and whatever else from the pop culture universe is on our minds. How you been, man?
Doing good, man. Life has been busy, but yeah. I'm loving everything about it right now.
We have both found some tournament success recently. We should celebrate our successes together. Talk about your event last weekend.
So I had a paintball tournament last week and we won.
Yay!
Got my trophy right here. It's all pretty and gold. And I even got a medal too.
That's amazing.
Now I'm just waiting on that prize money to show up.
Mm-hmm. So did everybody on the team get a trophy?
Everybody on the team got a medal, but okay. Since I'm the team captain, I got the trophy.
You absconded. You're mm-hmm. like, mine.
Mine. And then I just bolted.
Nice.
But you had some tournament success as well. Tell everybody where you were.
I was at the World Series of Poker. I did not come in first place. That would have been amazing. But yes. I did play in a tournament with 18,400 people. And of those 18,400 people, I placed 575th, which
Were you in the money then?
Oh, yes.
That's what I figured. I think it's like, what is it, top 2,000 or something like that?
Yeah, it was about 3x the buy-in is what I ended up taking home. So yeah, it was really fun to go deep in a tournament and, you know that I could play with the best. I had several professional players that I'd seen play before that landed, you know, at the table and got to, you know, play with the big names. I can't think of another activity where an amateur can just go play a tournament against the best in the world. You know what I mean? Like, and you just...
Oh, there's like some qualifications that you have to go through in order, or divisions like in other sports that you have to deal with.
Right.
Not like, in poker.
Like in golf, right? There are open tournaments, but you still have to like qualify and have a certain number of wins or placements or whatever. In poker, you just buy in and you can test your skills against the greatest in the world. And the World Series of Poker is, you know, that series of tournaments is, you know, where all the best in the world are playing. So it was a really interesting process and a lot of fun. And it was good. So yeah, we both had a lot of fun last weekend.
Yes,
absolutely.
And unlike what we predicted, I did not tear my ACL. Like we thought I would.
It's true. No injuries for me either.
No injuries for you. You didn't get cut
no paper
by a card
cuts.
Or nothing.
No, I'm good. I'm all good. No errant deals that stuck in my cornea or something. The poker injuries are few and far between.
So, I know people want us to get to the movie reviews, but I'm still curious.
Sure,
go for it. Did you get taken out on a bad beat?
I did. I was. I didn't face anything less than a coin flip the entire tournament. I got in good the entire tournament, and I was very happy about that. There were times when it was a coin flip. Like one of my big holds was, not a hold actually, but one of my big wins was a coin flip. I had ace king versus queens, and that was for a pretty big pot. And I caught an ace on the turn or whatever. So that's like a 50. That's actually, the queens are a slight favorite. They're like 52%, maybe something like that. But no, on my final hand, it came around to me, or it came around to the person before me. They're on, the button. So I've got blinds in. They know I'm a small stack. The person besides me also a small stack. So their opening range is so wide because they're just going to want to take those blinds. They know unless I've got something good, I'm going to have to fold, that kind of thing. So they went all in and raised me all in. And I had king 10. And in that situation, I felt like that was strong enough to play because their range was so open and it was suited to. And so, yeah, I called with King 10 and they turned over. You ready for this? King 9. and then the flop came 9-9-8. Thank you very much.
No way.
So, yeah. So, three cards in the deck that they needed and they got two of them on the flop.
Wow.
And then the deck teased me a little bit by giving me a 7 on the turn, which means a jack or a 6 now gives me a straight, and I have cards to win again all of a sudden. But they didn't come. I think it was like a 2 on the river. So yeah, there you go.
I don't think that beat is as bad as the Pocket Rockets.
No. It was the same tournament, right? This same tournament last year, I had my aces cracked by ace jack on the bubble, and they caught two of the... I mean, it's the same thing. Almost. It would be like if I had kings and he caught the two nines. He really only needed one of them, but aces versus ace jack, he needed both of those jacks to crack those aces. But yeah, no, it's gonna happen. But there's nothing like playing poker 14 hours straight, you know. it's a slog, so you gotta keep the focus, keep the game. But yeah, it was fun. I had a good time.
Nice.
So should we talk about movies on our poker podcast?
Yeah, I guess if we have to.
All right.
I had about 15 other questions I wanted to ask you, but I figured we got to get to the show.
We should. We're going to talk Bad Boys Ride or Die, the fourth Bad Boys movie. We're also going to talk Hitman, which just came out on Netflix, Glenn Powell starring in that. And then we'll do a best ever challenge, best ever quote unquote man movies. These are movies with gendered male words in the title. A topic that could be stretched, could, you know, kind of get creative with.
Oh, and I did.
And he did. As long as you don't go with Saving Private Ryan.
You know what? I swear, as soon as I saw this, I'm like, you better not.
I actually didn't use any proper nouns. I didn't use like any like guy names. It was all like pronouns and those kind of things, but or titles. So we're going to do that. And of course, we'll do some buried treasure at the end as well. But let's go ahead and kick it off. Let's talk about Bad Boys Ride or Die.
Marcus, get in the car.
He has a gun to my head.
Want to deal with him? You want to deal with me?
Sorry, sir, but I got to go. Call 911.
Aren't you the police?
Hey, Reggie, did you eat my snacks?
No, sir.
You ate my snacks, didn't you? You need to get a job.
I'm a U.S. Marine, sir.
Well, then you need to deploy.
Dad, look.
We now have evidence that the late Captain Conrad Howard of Miami PD was working directly with drug cartels for years.
After their late former captain is framed, Laurie and Burnett try to clear his name, only to end up on the run themselves. Bad Boys Ride or Die is the fourth movie in the Bad Boys franchise, picks up where the third one left off, with Detective Mike Lowry learning about his son and how that will impact this movie is yet to be seen. Martin Lawrence, of course, still here as well. You'll see some other familiar faces from the different movies, including Joe Pantoliano, even though he has passed on. That doesn't mean he can't be included. The character, let's be clear. The character has passed on.
I was going to ask, like, wait, did Pantoliano actually pass away?
The character died, but that doesn't mean the actor can't be in the movies. And Ray Seahorn is one of my favorites, pops in for for this again as well. So lots of interesting stuff here. It is not Michael Bay directing, although it is certainly influenced by his direction of the others. What did you think, Andrew? Did you like it, love it, dislike it, hate it, or it was just okay?
Low side of liked it, but okay. Liked it. What about you?
I think I'm kind of right there with you, but I'm going to go high side of okay. But yeah, I'm right in the same ballpark as you. I'll let you start with some general thoughts on why you liked Bad Boys Ride or Die.
Well, if you are in the mood for a high octane fueled ride that doesn't require a lot of mental gymnastics, this could be your movie, because I think this is what the film does better than anything else. The high dynamic and visually engaging action sequences, they're spectacular. And the way that the directors capture chaotic and fluid action scenes as a fresh and modern touch to the movie's visuals, the cinematography, it incorporates the use of drones to capture these like aerial shots and stuff.
Yeah, and I was like, somebody's been studying tape of ambulance.
Exactly, yeah. A lot of drone shots. But for an action film that has two leads in their 50s, I believe the film's action, and that just spoke to the range of our two actors, for them to pull off a high octane. I know they're not doing their own stunts, but the intense fighting, the sequences, I felt it convincing. And the charisma between these two guys, Smith and Lawrence, they're just as strong as ever. And the resilience and the toughness that Lawrence and Smith show, it comes across as natural. And that's something I think I want to give this movie a lot of praise for, because we point at movies like the Fast and the Furious saga. And this is kind of in the same wheelhouse of, you look at your protagonist as superheroes, not as humans. Mm-hmm. You know, they're above humanity. That's why they're able to get away with all these crazy action sequences and stuff. But at the same time, I bought into it, and I knew what world that I was in. You know, mm-hmm. where cops have $5 million mansions and, you know, Porsches.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
You mentioned really the highlights for me as well. Specifically, the action is shot really well. There's some interesting things that they're doing with the action. Some interesting camera movements, made me curious to see some of the behind the scenes on how they did some of those movements. There's some gun tossing that's really interesting and visually inventive. The drone stuff is interesting to me. I like the way it's being used in movies. I think it is another tool in the toolbox, and I like to see it applied in that way. So yeah, I think the action is really good, and I think the chemistry between these two is just still going well. And I think a lot of that has to do with, at least from my perspective, how well their characters are drawn. We know what their roles are in the relationship, right? We know that Will Smith is the hard as nails, doesn't want to show his feelings, you know, out to do a job, doesn't want to, you know, get attachment. And that Martin Lawrence is more of the emotion, the sappy guy, the guy that's going to, you know, be touchy-feely and love and more in touch with the spiritual side, that kind of stuff. Like, that's consistent through the series. And so it allows them to really understand who they are individually and who they are together. And I think it just kind of works. Yeah. And the other part while watching this that makes it, on the liked it or high side of just okay or wherever we landed kind of place, in my opinion, is it just goes down easy. It just it's just a fun ride. It doesn't have to, you know, create world peace or do everything right. It's just, you know, a fun hangout time with some laughs, and it's a Bad Boys movie, you know?
Yeah.
And if you didn't like the others, you probably won't like this. If you did enjoy the others, I'm pretty sure you will like this. It is... in the vein of the others. You're not looking at high caliber, Oscar-worthy screenplay kind of stuff. You're not looking at...
Are you reading my notes? Because you're... this is honestly like... I wrote that down. This film's not going to get any critical praise for uniqueness or complexity from the Academy. That's what I have written down. So,
and it's not. It's just not. It's very basic. I mean, it is... These movies have always been action movie cliche, the movie. Like, they're... From the things they say to the things they do... it's all Bayified, and I know Michael Bay in that style gets, and again, he did not direct this. Let's just be very clear. Although I think he has a cameo. Did I see him pop up in this movie? I think I saw him pop up in this movie.
You sure did. In the Porsche.
Yeah. Even though he didn't direct it, it's that same kind of style, which is a little bit style over substance and, an emphasis on the visual adrenaline, and it's well done. I don't know if you can get into it, then get into it. And I think the sense of humor is the other part that just kind of nails me on it. Is I'm also often laughing at something, you know. So yeah, I think you can have a good time with it, even though it's far from a perfect movie.
Yeah. Not to get into cons, but I think that what you just said is a perfect transition for
sure,
me to talk about my biggest negative with the film, and it's that it's difficult to pinpoint a negative with a film that accomplishes everything it wants to. Like, this movie did what it wanted to do.
Right, sure.
I don't feel, but at the same time, I don't feel that there's anything that makes this film more special than the three that came before it. The film doesn't break any new ground in the franchise and only lives off the nostalgia for the characters and the audience's ability to turn off their brains and enjoy an action film. Mm-hmm. So if that's what you're in the mood for, kind of like what I said earlier, this is going to be the film for you. But I don't think that if you're a fan of the franchise as a whole, like if you're if you're a big fan of either Martin Lawrence or Will Smith, then yeah, you're going to enjoy this movie. But if you're expecting something new, groundbreaking, you're not going to get it with this one.
Yeah. And I think it about sums it up. It sounds like we had almost the exact same experience with this movie. So I really don't have much other than that. I guess I will throw in for my one last thing is that I do wish some of the periphery characters were a little better. There are often times when we're spending time with the characters who aren't our two main characters that I'm like, oh, this movie feels not quite as good right now. So I wish everybody else was as fun to watch, I guess is how I should say it, as our two main characters were. Do you have one final thing?
Besides no post credit scene, it's Miami has always been the character in these movies, you know. And I think that they do it again here. I really like Miami as a character in these movies.
Yep. Miami is you know, it's always
going to Miami.
Yeah, it's always central to what's going on here. Well, there you go. That is Bad Boys Ride or Die. Even though the fourth movie should have been Bad Boys for Life, we all know
it. Seriously,
nobody understands.
Why did they make the third movie Bad Boys for Life?
It's not difficult. Why are we doing this? It's like we're here to help. We're trying.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our next review. Let's talk a little bit about the film Hitman on Netflix.
By the way, my name is Gary Johnson, and I'm a fake hitman. I realize not everyone fantasized about the same hitman. Every sting operation was a performance.
This is serious.
I am in service business.
And each arrest was like a standing ovation.
Okay, Daniel Day!
A mild-mannered professor moonlighting as a fake contract killer sparks a chain reaction of trouble when he falls for a client. The he is Glenn Powell, who's having a little bit of a moment right now. Adria Arjona is his co-lead. This is from Netflix. They really wanted it on the big screen. Netflix did not, and so it ended up just on Netflix. What did you think, Andrew? Did you love it, like it, dislike it, hate it, or was just okay?
I really liked it.
High side of liked it. I'm going to go low side of liked it on this. Again, you're just slightly ahead of me, slightly above me. So speak on it. What did you like about Hitman?
Well, I don't think we mentioned this. This is a Richard Linklater film.
Oh, yeah. I should have mentioned that Linklater directed this. Yes, of course.
Doesn't feel like a Linklater film at all. And maybe that's what I kind of like the most about it. And not saying that I don't like Linklater films. I actually really do. Mm-hmm. But there's just something accessible about this one. My biggest pro is I love Glenn Powell. I feel that his flexibility and versatility puts him on display here for a very caricaturized character. So many different players that he is, you know, performing as here, and the range on display from these different characters. It's just great. And it's not just about changing costumes. There's a nuance to the emotional baggage that he is bringing to this character. This character drags around with, what am I trying to say? It's even more clearly displayed whenever he is talking with his students about philosophy.
Mm.
Because you see him raising questions about morality and conviction to his students, while at the same time trying to convince himself of the ethics of his actions.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's my biggest pro for the movie, is Glenn Powell and how he was written.
Yeah, I'll jump off the Glenn Powell thing because I agree. I think he's amazing in this, and he certainly has all these chances to shine. He's given several different moments where he gets to embody a different kind of, you know, character, because he's playing a hitman and a different kind of hitman for each of these people he's trying to take down, all that kind of stuff. So he has a chance to really stretch his acting muscles, and it's really fun to see. But honestly, the subtle differences between Gary, who's the guy, like that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's the character we meet, and the Ron character, the subtle differences between those are, I think, where he really shines, because yeah. there's a scene where he starts as Ron and ends as Gary, and the difference is so subtle, but so clear, and that's hard to do. I was really impressed with his ability to capture the nuances of those different personality types, and to capture that both of those main personality types, Ron and Gary, are part of him too. Like those are, you know, there's some Ron and Gary, and there's some Gary and Ron, and you know, doing that again is really, really difficult. I was really impressed with Glenn Powell's work in this movie.
And he's not the only one. I think Adria Arjona, is it Arjona or Arjona?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm trying to think of what else I've seen her in. Morbius. There we go. Wonder why I couldn't put a face to the name there. No, I think she's great in this. Besides those two, not to get into negatives already, but I think that the supporting cast, besides those two, is kind of lacking character development. I didn't really see too much from them that I was going like, Rita's character, Austin Amelio. There's a lot of characters in this that have important roles that I felt just were very underdeveloped.
I have two main reasons I have a hard time going full on liked it for this, and just ended up on the light side of liked it. And one of them deals with what you're talking about, because I almost feel like the side characters and the side quests of the movie are a different movie than the central plot. And I think tonally, in what they're doing, a lot of the actors on the side are acting in a little more of a silly way than our central actors are. And yes, our central actors are having comedic moments. Don't get me wrong. They're still comedic moments, but it's a different, almost feels like a different kind of comedy, a little more nuanced and authentic and real than what's happening along the sides. And so it just felt like there was a tonal movie disparity between the periphery and the center. And it was hard for me to continue going back and forth between those. So, so I don't know for me that it was necessarily their performances. It's just what they were given to do. And it felt more like a broad comedy, I guess is what I'm saying, when we were on some of the side characters and we're in the center, it felt like a rom-com, which is a different kind of comedy, right? So, I struggled a little bit with that.
That's interesting because I think that was one of my big pros for the movie. I think that Linklater is doing some commendable stuff, blending various genres from rom-com to thriller to straight-up comedy. I think that he actually blended all those different... I can see what you're saying, how certain characters are acting in a way that it makes it seem like they're in a different film.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that overall, I bought it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I really, really liked that the movie took its time to live in the philosophical conversations.
Yes.
I loved that. There's a conversation between Gary and I believe his ex-wife about identity that was really interesting and fascinating. This movie's dialogue is smart. It feels very intelligent in the way they're talking about these things, which is important considering he's supposed to be a professor of these kinds of conversations. So it's important that the movie feels like it's not just cookie cutter, easy stuff. And then there's a conversation with his students later on about morality, a moral conversation that they have that I think is central to the movie as well. And I'm just
glad. Is that the one where it's like, well, if you were 25,000 years ago, it would be.
Right. Yeah. Where he, yes. Where they voted and, you know, we're kind of split. And yeah, I think it really helps the movie land what it's trying to say philosophically, thematically, all those kind of things. And it's done really, really well. And it's thought provoking in those scenes. But that leads me to my second negative, which makes it hard for me to say I full on like this movie, which is I don't know that the movie fully embraces or understands the things that it's talking about in action. In other words, where this movie goes and what it does, I think it tries to set itself up. I'm trying to talk around spoilers if it's not obvious.
Go ahead.
It tries to set itself up to be able to pull off what it wants to pull off. And I just don't think at the end of the day that I came away from this movie going, okay, I'm with these people. I understand these people. I get the philosophy here and how it was enacted. I come away going, that seems like rationalization, like an excuse, like, it just didn't quite work for me. Now, part of that may be my own, moral approach to violence, any kind of violence, those kind of things. But it was just difficult for me to rectify this movie's love for its central characters with the choices it's making for those characters. So, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think that the movie is saying the actions of our characters are a commentary on, like, if this gets into spoilers and then cut me off, it's talking about like a id and superego and ego and stuff like that. And I think that that's mainly what
the identity stuff all works for me. I'm not talking about the identity stuff, the superego, the id, all that stuff. I thought made a lot of sense with what he's dealing with Gary and Ron specifically, right? That stuff made complete sense to me. I'm more talking about the moral ethical conversations.
Okay.
Those for where we end up, for where this movie goes, I didn't feel like it did enough work for me to be able to go, oh yeah, that works. That's perfect. I still came away going, I don't like that.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely don't wrap it up neatly with a bow and everything for you.
Yeah.
But maybe that in itself is a lesson. I think that I'm kind of with you where the ending of this movie isn't as clean as it could be, but maybe that in itself is the message that this is a sloppy and messy thing, and sometimes life can't be summed up in a way that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
maybe
we're not
I'm just grasping at straws here, though.
No, no, no. No, no, no. You're good. You're good. I just, I can't really say what I want to say without giving away some of the things about the ending of this movie. But it makes some choices. Some clear choices. It may not wrap everything up in a bow. That's not necessarily what I'm talking about. But it does make clear choices with its characters and the actions that they take. It does not leave anything unknown about the intentions or moral choices that our two lead, you know, characters are making towards the end. And because of that, I don't think it fully... I don't think it fully relieves itself from the burden of those choices through the conversations that it has.
Now, that I do agree with.
So
that,
so
yeah. That I definitely agree with.
So, yeah. Anyhow, hopefully I could, that'll, you know, if you've seen it, you know, hopefully that'll, you know, but it's interesting. And again, I'll always take an interesting movie that I can think about afterwards over something that I just forget immediately. And I'm not forgetting this movie immediately for sure.
No. No, I could see this one stick with me for a while as well, mm-hmm. just to think about.
Yeah.
But what would I expect anything less from a Linklater film?
It is so interesting that it's a Linklater film. Yeah, it's wild. Do you have one last thing?
No post-credit scene.
My one last thing is that this movie is could have been a great television show. Like, all of the side moments could have been an episode. I like all of those characters. I would have spent an episode with, you know, figuring out what was going on. So, yeah, it's got a great case of the week opportunity to it that could be really, really interesting. But I like it as a movie as well.
Yeah. You just reminded me that I do have two quick negatives, actually.
Yeah, go for it.
The film takes place in New Orleans, and I did not see a single fleur-de-lis. That's unacceptable.
That is not possible, says Andrew.
But I would say my biggest negative in all seriousness is that the film suffers from pacing issues, I think. There are scenes that don't smoothly transition from one to the next. This can lead to disengagement from your viewers while listening to the story. For example, all those scenes you were talking about where Gary is putting on the hitman persona.
Mm-hmm.
It feels as if the only thing this scene is serving is to show Glenn Powell's range sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm not mad at it because I like seeing Glenn Powell's range, I think the guy is great. At the same time, it's not serving the story in any way. There are scenes that I felt were dragged out that could have been cut short, and there were scenes that were rushed I felt needed to be lived in a little bit longer.
You know, that's really similar to what I said about the TV show too, right? Like the idea that like those cutaways, they do feel like they're getting a little bit short shrift, right? Like that they need to either be fleshed out or have some more time spent with them, or left some of them on the cutting room floor. But yeah, it's hard to leave that stuff on the cutting room floor because it's so fun.
It's good.
In Glenn Powell is so fun in all those different personas. So yeah. It's good stuff. Overall, again, I'm in the liked it category. Just low side of liked it. There's enough about what this movie is saying that if it's saying what I think it's saying, I hate what it's saying. I don't agree with the point of this movie.
Sure.
But it's still a really well done movie and a good watch. You know, it's a fun watch for sure.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. All right, let's head on to the best ever challenge. But before we do, thank you so much to our amazing Sift Pop members.
Wrong show, Aaron.
We appreciate you guys hanging out with us and supporting us. That all happens at Patreon, patreon.com/siftpop. Starts at $3 a month. You can check out all the info there. Again, that is patreon.com/siftpop. Thanks for keeping us going.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, on to the best ever challenge. Best ever, quote-unquote, man movies. These are movies where some sort of gendered term is male. And again, I tried not to pick. I actually do have one of my top five does have a name in it, but that is not the the part of the title that I'm considering gendered. So anyhow, let's start off. We'll go number five to number one. And of course, if you have it higher,
Trump!
Then it will get trumped, and we'll talk about it where it's at its highest. What's your number five, Andrew?
I'm going to go with Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe in The Nice Guys.
Mm-hmm. Good choice.
I love this. Shane Black, written and directed. And Ngori Rice, who we just saw in Mean Girls. Absolutely love her in this movie. She's great as Ryan Gosling's daughter. The supporting cast in this is insane, not just from, you know, the star names, but also the way that they portray their characters are very believable and exciting. This is just a hilarious movie. I can't recommend it enough. And I know it's Aaron, not that Aaron. Aaron Schweitzer's favorite movie. So
yeah,
you should definitely check it out.
Good choice, good choice. Way too many good choices in this category, by the way. And so, yeah, I kind of limited my honorable mentions to like the best of the best. But that one was in there. So my number five is The Lion King. The Lion King is my number five. And yes, King is the male gendered word in that title. And this is just one of the greatest animated films of all time. That's all.
That's it.
As far as animated goes, it's hard to get much better. And a lot of that has to do with the source material and the Shakespeare of it all. A lot of it has to do with the voice performances involved, the writing, but the animation is beautiful as well. This is just classic, classic stuff. Disney at its best. So Lion King is my number five.
Yes.
What is your number four?
I'm going to go with 12 Angry Men.
Yeah, that was in my honorable mentions as well.
You know how much I love this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that it's my number four lets you know just how good the rest of the movies on this list are. But yeah, I think that this, besides more than I can think of any other movie, I think this is the best study of the human condition. Of what, when put in an uncomfortable situation, how the real you can come out, especially when it comes to something as passionate as about murder. Mm-hmm. And you're on a jury for it. You know, your own personal philosophies will come out, your own personal belief systems, and they clash. It's just a great, great movie. I want to watch it right now.
Yeah. 12 Angry Men is amazing for sure. All right, on to my number four. My number four is, Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Brother, of course, being the key word in this.
This would have made my list if I was that smart.
Yeah, I love this movie. And, you know, Coens are just, they just, I just vibe with them in the things that they do for the most part. And Oh Brother is a lot of fun. Very interesting. Again, some great source material. And then to do it in this way is pretty impressive. So, yeah, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is my number four. Andrew, you're number three.
This one might get vetoed, so I have a backup.
Veto. Okay. Yes. How much of a stretch is it?
Coming to us from Christopher Nolan, I have Memento.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
I figured you would, because that's a very Aaron Dicer kind of a pick right there.
That's right.
Yes. Oh, man, I love this movie so much. For those of you who don't know, this is a movie about a man who gets hit on the head, and he can no longer make new memories. He can only have his old memories, and he's trying to find out who murdered his wife, and he has to tattoo on his body all the clues that he can find, because he'll forget the clues if he doesn't write them down somewhere. The entire movie is told from end to beginning, so you'll see one scene, and then you'll see what the scene before it was. It kind of can be a little complicated in the beginning if you're not aware of what the film is doing, but once you pick up what's going on, it's a very, very, very good movie. Christopher Nolan loves to have time as a metaphor or a tool in all of his movies, and I think it's done brilliantly here.
Great choice. Great choice. My number three is No Country for Old Men.
Trump!
All right, I got the Trump signal. What is your number two, Andrew?
No Country for Old Men.
Hey!
Yes. Anton Chigurh is probably in the top five villains in cinematic history for me. He is...
Yeah,
truly terrifying. He is walking death. Just brilliantly acted movie. And this goes back to what I was saying last or 2 weeks ago when I said two Coen movies are exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
You put this movie up against Fargo or Raising
Oh Brother,
Arizona,
Where Art Thou?
Or Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Exactly. Just the range that the Coen brothers have is mesmerizing. And I absolutely love No Country for Old Men.
Yep, I agree. Again, I was just talking about how the Coens just vibe, and it's interesting. This is the counterpoint to what you were saying, that they have such a range. Everything feels like the Coen brothers, even though it's a wide range. It all still feels like them, and that's just a really interesting magic trick to pull off. So, No Country for Old Men is my number three, and your number two. Is that correct?
What's your number two?
My number two is my little bit of a cheat. Number two is where I have The True Man Show.
Nice.
So, yes, I have Truman Show at number two. What a fabulous movie. A movie that becomes more and more prescient every single day as we all continue to live under the spotlight. I really dig this movie, and it feels like one of those movies I could just watch every day for the rest of my life and never get tired of it. It's just so rewatchable. So good.
And I think that this is the perfect blend of Jim Carrey's comedic acting and his dramatic acting as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because he allows himself to be goofy and wacky like you would see in Liar Liar or Ace Ventura. But he also has a serious side to him in this that you would see in like Man on the Moon or something like that. So I think this is like up there with like the perfect Jim Carrey performance.
Very good. All right. So I think we're on to our number ones.
Might have the same one.
It's very, very possible. Yes. I know we both love this movie.
Yes. Is it one of three?
It is one and three. It is the trinity of movies.
Yes. Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Yeah. Interesting. You have King and Return of the King. I just did Lord of the Rings because Lord itself is male gendered. So, yeah. But
oh, yeah. Lords and ladies. You're right.
Yeah. So, yep. Lord of the Rings is my number one as well.
Yeah.
So, it's often our number ones.
It really is. It's as if. You know, Peter Jackson made the perfect movie.
It's almost as if. There are top five. Before we head on to our honorable mentions, what did the amazing SifPop writers over at SifPop.com have to add to this topic?
Yes. Coming in at number three, The Nice Guys. Mm-hmm. Makes me feel validated. Yep, love that. Yep. Number two, Return of the King.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then number one, a movie we did not mention at all, but it was my second honorable mention, Children of Men.
Yeah, I have Children of Men in my honorable mentions as well. I'm not surprised that that would come in number one. You want to throw out some?
I have a lot. Do you want to just clean up after me? Or you want me to clean up after you, I mean?
No. Whichever way you want to go about it.
Okay, I'll just list them off real quick.
Okay.
A Few Good Men.
Yep.
So close to making my list.
That was on my list. So close.
Man on Fire.
Good one.
Rain Man.
Good one.
Elephant Man.
Good one.
Man on the Moon.
Good one.
Batman Begins.
Lots of Batman movies could be in this category for sure. Yeah.
Well, I did just have written down every superhero movie ever that ends in
Superman, Batman, yeah.
Yeah. Men in Black.
Mm-hmm. Definitely have that one.
And that's what I got.
I would add First Man to the list.
I need to rewatch that one.
Yeah, it's so good. The Cable Guy. Would throw that one out there. Iron Man, speaking of superhero movies. The Prince of Egypt. Wanted to throw on there.
So good.
Fantastic Mr. Fox is probably worth mentioning in this category. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, speaking of the superheroes. Inside Man, the Spike Lee movie. So good. And King of Kong, which is the video game movie. And I had Maestro, which is a gendered male word. I had that on here. So enjoy Maestro. And then for one final cheat, I also had The Menu. The Menu. I had The Menu on my list as well. So there you go. There are the honorable mentions. All right, let's head on to our buried treasure. What's that one thing in any area of pop culture that you want to make sure people know about? Andrew, I feel like you've been going first, so I'll go ahead and take the lead spot on this. I knocked a big one off my list of shame recently, and so I wanted to talk about it, like a big, big, big one. I finally watched Rashomon. The Kurosawa movie.
Yeah, what'd you think?
It's great. It really surprised me because the idea of Rashomon, different perspectives, same story, like other movies do this and people will say, oh, this is like Rashomon. This is, you know, the Rashomon effect or the Rashomon type story or whatever. And so in my mind, I had made it about perspective, which it is in many ways, but more in the way of like the story of the blind men and the elephant, right? Like where there's an elephant and six blind men all touch different parts of the elephant and describe it differently. And that's not quite what this is because it's not just about different perspective. It's not as if all perspectives are good, all perspectives are equal. Like it's not just about that. What Kurosawa seems to be saying in this movie is that all perspectives are invalid. Like all perspectives are based in ego. All perspectives are about making myself look better, about making my own narrative ring true. And so what you get in on the story of this bandit who sorry for, you know, any triggers. I'll just say sexually assaults, sexually assaults a woman and kills her husband, or her husband is killed again. I shouldn't say he does it because, you know, there are different versions of the story.
Yeah.
They all center around that. And you get his story, the woman's story, the dead husband's story through a medium. And then you also get the woodcutter's story and the there was one other story as well. And so you get all these different looks at what happened in this situation. And every single one of them makes the person telling it look good in some way or another. And so I didn't realize it was not only about perspective, but it was about the human tendency to be dishonest in a way that makes us look good, to shade certain details so that we come out looking better than if we told the entire truth. And even the story that I think we're supposed to believe is closest to the truth, because it's from an objective, quote unquote, observer, has elements of this where there is, you know, something that that person might have done with a valuable, you know, artifact that they leave out of their story. And it's just, it's this, I was really, really impressed with what Kurosawa is saying about morality in this tale as much as about perspective. And I was also impressed that it ends optimistically as a way to say, even though humans have this ego-based tendency to lie to make themselves look good, there is still good in us as well, in the way that this movie ends. I was blown away. It's great. Of course it's great. I'm not breaking news. You know, Rashomon is great.
Kurosawa knows what he's doing. This just in.
This just in. Akira Kurosawa understands movie making. I really enjoyed it and really enjoyed the broader understanding of what a Rashomon movie can do, specifically when it is Rashomon.
Yeah, even back in the 50s, Kurosawa knew the lack of credibility when it comes to firsthand eyewitness accounts.
Yeah.
Absolutely great. I'm glad that you knocked it off your list. And it starts off so great, you know, with the rain and they're like seeking shelter underneath that gazebo thing. And then you see the look and that guy's like, I just seen some stuff.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't talk about any of the technical stuff. The acting's great. The there's some things they do in this movie that had never been done before. I was reading up on it. They shot directly at the sun, which had never been done before. It was like a no-no. You don't, you know, shoot the sun. And they shot the sun through the forest, which I thought was really interesting because it kind of plays into the themes. Like if the sun is the truth and then the leaves in the forest are, you know, us, you know, we shade and reflect and, you know, change the truth. You know, we just have that natural impact on it. So
that's deep.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that it was intentional, but it's something that popped up to me, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was intentional, but yeah, so it's great stuff. Nice. What's your, buried treasure, Andrew?
My buried treasure this week is me. I'm getting very egotistical. I'm so egotistical that I have two buried treasures because I have been such a busy boy. Aaron, I have some bad news. Mm. I've been seeing other podcasts.
Oh, no.
Yes.
What shall I do? Forsooth.
Yes. I want to shout out two podcasts that I was a guest on recently. The first one is Franchise Paradiso. We talked about best heroes. And we talked about like superheroes and superhero franchises. That was a blast and a half. I had so much fun because if I'm not talking paintball or movies, I'm talking superheroes and comic books.
Mm-hmm.
So having the opportunity where they invited me on to talk about these topics, I just had so much fun. We talked about Spider-Man, Batman, all the big hitters, and we just ranked them and where we thought the best franchises were. And then the other podcast I want to shout out that I was on is Sports Ball.
Hmm.
Yes, I was on a sports show, believe it or not, talking about what else but paintball.
There we go.
Talking about, you know, what a paintball match involves, who are some of the big players in the game, like what's going on in paintball. Like it's a... going to be on ESPN now. They just announced that paintball is coming to ESPN, which is nice. Big news. We also talked about combat sports. I talked about boxing and MMA. Mm-hmm. And then we also talked about the NFL and the current state of the NFL. Those were just a blast and a half. It's difficult for people to understand who don't do podcasting at all how much easier it is to be a guest on a show than it is to host a show.
You're so right.
It's so much easier.
Yeah.
But I just want to thank the folks over at Franchise Paradiso and the folks over at Sports Ball for having me on. It was a blast.
Very nice. You can find those, I'm pretty sure, in any podcast player that you might use.
Yes.
So that's Sports Ball and Franchise Paradiso. If you want to check those out. And Rashomon is on the Criterion channel as well as, I think, in some other places. It might be streaming on Max as well. I don't remember, but I do know it's on Criterion if you want to check it out there. Well, we did it. We did it, Woo! Andrew. We managed to do a podcast. Congratulations to us for completing the task at hand. Appreciate everybody who took the time to listen along. Thank you so much for joining us today. SifPop is part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network. You can find out more about other shows on the network by searching Studio DNA in your podcast player. Huge thanks to Andrew for hanging out again today.
Thank you, buddy.
Huge thanks to producer Phil for producing the audio and video show.
Thanks, Phil.
Thanks to Andrew's mom, Cheryl, for hanging out with us today.
Hey, hi, Mom.
Always good to see you in the chat. And much love and gratitude to our SifPop members for giving monthly to make SifPop a real thing. Support starts at $3 a month. You can get access to bonus episodes, all sorts of fun stuff there at the Patreon, patreon.com/SifPop. Lots of ways you can connect with the podcast. You can feel free to leave a comment, a rating, or a review, whether that's at Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen. You can also email us at feedback@sifpop.com. And finally, if you're having a good time, your movie-loving friends will probably like the show too, so let them know about it, and that listening is much easier than catching a skittle in your mouth from behind. We will be back next week to chat Inside Out 2, as well as some other things. So we will see you then. Bye.
Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.